morning, turn to Matthew. Let me see here. I know it's in Matthew. Matthew 14, verse 22. Matthew 14, 22, and let's stand on and read God's word. And the word says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the winds were contrary. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for the miracle, Lord God, of your word, Lord God. And Father, for the blessings that you give us every day, Lord God, of our lives, Lord God. And Father, maybe this country's in a bad shape, Lord God, this world and everything that's in it, Lord God, but we know that you're still in control, Lord God. And Father, I come to you this morning, Lord God, answering your call to preach the gospel. I pray, Lord God, you use me as a mouthpiece unto your people. And I pray, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, would not fall on deaf ears, Lord God, but they would fall on people that on fertile ground, Lord God, where that those words would come forth, Lord God, and cleanse their hearts, Lord God, and Father, save their souls. And Father, I pray if there's one here this morning, God, that's sick, Lord God, that you touch them. I pray, Lord God, if there's one here that's lost, Lord God, that you, Lord God, would deal with them this morning, Lord God, and that they'd come to the saving knowledge as you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray, Lord God, if there's Christians here that just need a closer walk with you, Lord God, that they'd make up their mind that today is that day that they need to turn around and get real. And we give you the praise. In name we pray. Amen. This is a very familiar story. I have preached it a whole bunch of times, but every time the Lord gives it to me in a little different way. And what is happening here in chapter 14, Jesus had just fed the multitude of people. And the people, when they saw him come, well, they all gathered around him. We know the story of the fishes and the loaves and how Jesus fed the multitude of people. And so after the people were fed, he told his disciples, and the word says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. So the first thing I want you to notice, and it's really two sermons in one, that how important it was for Jesus Christ to take time from all that he was doing and go be with his Father alone. First thing he done is sent the disciples away, and the next thing he done is made sure the multitude was gone where he could go and he could be alone with God and pray with God for everything that he needed in his life, the strength, the courage, and everything. And I tell y'all, a lot of y'all get it. A lot of y'all may not get my devotional that I send out every morning. And I know here lately I've been slack on it because I've been having to leave so early in the morning. I try to do it at night. But anyway, the message this morning, one of the things is that God wants us to see that if it was necessary for Jesus Christ himself to pray and be with God, how much more necessary is it that you and I are to pray with God and to be with God every day? And I've told, you know, I've preached this 1,000 times, like I said, and some of y'all still don't get it, I know, because the Lord wouldn't give it to me again, but it is so important that you, no matter what you're doing, to put God the first thing in your life. When you get up in the morning, the first thing that you should do is thank God. I mean, when your feet hit the floor, when your eyes pop open, say thank you, God, for another day. Because, people, it is because of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross at Calvary and God created man that you're even here today. So the first thing that you should do as a person, as a Christian, as anybody, whether you're a Christian, is thank God for another day, because regardless of what science says, regardless of what man says, regardless of all different gods and things. There's only one way that you're here this morning, and that is because the Lord Jesus Christ. God created you, sin came into the world, and God sent His Son to do away, did away with sin completely. So Jesus immediately told the disciples, get in the boat, go across the Sea of Galilee. And then He told all that multitude, go. And all those people left. And the word says, in verse 23, and when He had sent the multitude away, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. I made the excuse for years and years when I was working for the state that I didn't have time in the morning because I worked early in the morning to about 1 o'clock, and I had to be in like at 4:45 in the morning, and I'd get off at 1 o'clock, and I made that as an excuse that I don't have time to pray, I don't have time. So I would wait till in the afternoon and pray. And the reason I tell you that even though God, it worked, it didn't work, because I have found over the years that if you pray to God, and if you just read one verse, or if you got a verse in your head that you've memorized, or if you just, I touched on the Lord's Prayer this week in the devotional, if you'll just get up and say, thank you, God, for this day, read a word or two of His Word, and say the Lord's Prayer, people, the Lord's Prayer covers it all. The Lord's Prayer covers, the prayer that them kids just said a while ago, covers it. If you just take time to do it, I don't care if you're going hunting, if you're going fishing. You know, hunting is the best place in the world that I've found to get in touch with God. I always took my little New Testament to the deer stand with me, and now with these telephones, there's no excuse. Sit out there and read and get close to God. When you're by yourself, God can talk to you. Why did Jesus send all them people away? Why did Jesus send the disciples away? Because they were not a burden to Him, because they were there and they were looking to draw off of Him. When you're at home and your wife and your children, if you still got children at home, they're all there, they're going through their daily routine, and you just can't focus the way God wants you to focus. You need to get by yourself, and you need to be with the Lord. Jesus Himself, the Word says again, and when He had sent the multitude away, He went up the mountain by Himself to pray. Now, when evening came, He was alone there. He was alone, by Himself. You can't study God's Word. Jonah probably laugh at me. I get up early in the morning and I study. And then I set my Bible by my chair. And if I go to the doctor, I take my phone with me or my Bible. And I constantly, but a lot of times, I'm watching a football game. I cut the sound off and sit there and study. That's what I did all day yesterday. I watched the football game. But now let me tell you something. That don't take away from what I'm saying. You have got to, at some point in your day, get by yourself with God and pray to Him. Let Him know that He is your Heavenly Father. Give Him praise and read His Word and understand His Word. And God can, He can talk to you then. When you got all these attractions, I promise you, the devil is going to use everything that he can do to stop you from getting closer to God. He's going to do it. He's going to throw everything, I'll be sitting there. I was sitting there yesterday, the first day I've had to rest, and I don't know when. And I was watching Ohio State and somebody play football, and I had no sound on it, and the devil kept on, quit reading this, and they did, watch that play over, watch that, do this, do that, Get up and get you a coat, do this, do that. That's the reason that God wanted you, and Jesus, the example of all examples, to go be by yourself, read His Word, and pray with Him. One of the lamest excuses that I ever use is just what I said. I don't have time because I got to go to work so early. I got to go to bed early at night. I got to get up early in the morning. But you know what? I learned finally that, you can pray going down the road in the car by yourself. Turn the radio off. Pray. Whenever you find time, pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying this to let you know that if Jesus Christ Himself had to pray, if Jesus Christ Himself had to have everything quiet or he could be by himself with his Father, how much more do you and I have to? I mean, we got to do it. And the only way that you're going to do it is finally make up your mind to do it. Now, here I go through the, I didn't even know what I was going to say. I didn't even know I was going to preach here this morning, but you have got to get up in the morning. You have got to make yourself, well, you know, I can study God's word anytime. You can, if you get somewhere by yourself. But let me tell you something. If you get with God early in the morning and you study his word and let him talk to you, your day will be better no matter what happens on that day. People, you got to get away from the kids. You got to get away from the wife. You got to get away from TV. You got to get away from the telephone. You got to leave all these distractions alone in order to talk to God. Our excuses are, well, I got to go to work at a certain time. I got to get the kids ready for school. I got to fix breakfast. I got to get up at 6 o'clock. Here comes the kicker. This is what you don't want to hear. Got to get up at 6 o'clock to do all that? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, gave his life, shed his life blood on that cross at Calvary. Get up at 5 o'clock and give Jesus that first 45 minutes, hour of the day. You ever thought about that? That shows Jesus that you really are, you really trying to make that connection with him, and he will be, you will become closer to God. That's like, that goes along with fasting. It's the same thing as fasting. You're taking time out. You're setting aside a time every day for Jesus. And Jesus himself set aside a time to every time throughout the New Testament that he got tired, that he got weary, he went, he sent everybody off, and he went to be with the Lord. And he listened to the Lord, and he got his power and his strength from God. And so if Jesus has to do it, we have to do it. Going on with this, it says, now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, this comes to our part of this. Here we are. This is the way we are, and this is how great Jesus is, the story we're fixing to read. So, in verse 25 says, now the fourth watch, which is according to biblical terms in Arabic and the Hebrew, is 3 a.m., 3 o'clock in the morning. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now, here we are. We have been with Jesus all day. He went to be with his Lord, with his Father. And Jesus just takes off walking across the water. Well, pay attention. At the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the water. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out, fear in fear. Listen, how many times have you prayed in your life? Just like I'm up late, you have your quiet time in the morning, you start having that. And you have prayed for something to happen, and all of a sudden it happens and it scares you. You ever done that? How many times have we saw people in this church? I can name four ladies that have been in this church. I don't think any of them's here this morning that have had breast cancer and have been healed. And when God healed them, it scared us. Jesus had fed a multitude. He had just performed this miracle. He had fed 5,000 people with those fishes and loaves. He had went into the mountains to pray, and now at 3 a.m. in the morning, he goes trotting across the water to the boat. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Pay attention to what Jesus does here. They were scared to death. They cried out in fear. They were his people. They were his disciples, just like you and I are. And I can tell you the last, since September when they told me I had cancer, I've cried out in fear a whole lot of times. And you know what? The wonderful thing about it is they cried out in fear, but immediately, Immediately, when we cry out, Jesus didn't say, look at them idiots out there. They know who I am. They're scared to death. They're hollering and screaming. They're scared. They ought to know better than that. That's not what he said. The Bible says, and Jesus wrote this Bible that we're reading, and Jesus said that, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't be surprised when Jesus answers your prayer. Them guys were scared to death. They're out in the Sea of Galilee. When I was in Israel, we took a tour, rode one of those boats just like they was in, that's been recreated. Has they got a sail on it, but it has a boat, a motor behind it now. They'll put out in the middle of it and turn the motor off and let you drift. But that boat was tossed and turned, and they say that the Sea of Galilee, it's just about the size of Lake Livingston down here by the, right there where you can see, right at the bridge. And that wind will come up just like that, just like it does in Lake Livingston. And they were tossed about, and they were getting, water was coming in the boat. They were afraid that they was going to die, but Jesus said, be of good cheer, do not be afraid. It is I, and immediately he answered his disciples' prayer. Immediately. And that wasn't enough. You got Peter, like Glenn, like Doubting Thomas. Peter looks at him and he said, look here. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, again, there you go. If it's you. Ain't that crazy? You know, I know every time when they run me up in that tube the other day with my head locked down with a face mask on me like a Jason mask, and I couldn't move, and as big as I am, that tube was full. I was saying, Lord, please help me get out of this thing. Lord, don't let the electricity get off. And Jesus was doing just exactly like he was them guys. He said, my people are so crazy. They're faith. They so little faith. Jesus said, immediately he stopped him. And so Peter looked at him, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now let me tell you something. You better be careful about what you're asking Jesus to do. Because Jesus, just like these, he will do it and he will scare, you know, it will scare the britches off of you. How did that happen? Because you asked Jesus, and when you ask Jesus something, immediately Jesus comes to you and immediately Jesus answers your prayer. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And if you ask and believe, you shall receive. That's what Jesus said. And so immediately, old Peter asked him, Lord, command me to walk on the water. So he said, come. I know a lot of people that have, that I met when I was going to school, about the seminary, and they said, you know, I really know what I'm doing here. One day I asked Jesus to make a preacher out of him, and he called me. And now I don't know what to do. Can you imagine, Peter? You imagine you're out here on Lake Livingston. A lot of you guys and women have been out here on this lake. You know how it is when that boat gets to rocking and that wind comes up. It's scary. And Jesus said, if that's you, I mean, Peter said, basically, if that's you, Jesus, command me to walk. He said, okay, Peter, step out of the boat. And so here you go. Whatever it is you've asked Christ for, just put it like this in your life. Whatever it is that you have asked him for, he tells you, come on, you can do it. And you start doing it. This is where we got to pay attention. And it's funny and it's serious because right here in these, let's say it's one, about five times, he immediately does something. So old Peter, he told him to command him. In verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. Can you imagine, Peter? He stepped out of that boat and says, Lord, I'm walking on the water. And he walked and he walked. And he's looking at Jesus with his hands stretched out. The word says right here. But when he saw, see, he saw Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was blisters, the wind was rough. The wind was bad. It was cutting him. He saw that the wind was rough like that. He was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Save me, Lord." That is exactly, see, we can ask Jesus to heal us. We can ask Jesus to save our lives. We can ask Jesus to do whatever it is that we want him to do. And Jesus will immediately answer that. But the problem with us is when you take your eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He didn't look at the miracle that he was walking on water. He didn't look at the miracle that God was giving him exactly what he asked. He began to look at the problem. And when you go back, when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you give him anything, and when you take your eyes off of Jesus, then you can sink. A guy and I was talking about that this morning in my office, about the sink. When you can be a Christian, you can be saved, you can study, you can teach, you can do everything. But when you get away from being fed with God's people and quit coming to Sunday school and quit coming to church, no matter what the reason is, you'll find yourself, the devil will get into your head and start showing you the world, and you'll take your eyes off of Jesus and you'll sink every time. That's bad, right? Look what happened. He was afraid that he was going to sink. He cried out saying, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." Now remember, Peter had saw Jesus walk. Peter knew Jesus wanted to pray to God. Peter had saw Jesus feed the multitude of people. And Peter had asked Jesus to walk on the water, and he did. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink and he cried out. And immediately, he didn't say, "Well, like I would have probably done if I was Jesus, I'd let him go down and go down about two times and come back up, and then I'd have brought him up and let him walk. I'd have tried to teach him something." But Jesus, being Jesus, said, immediately, Jesus stretched out his hands and called him and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did ye doubt me?" We wonder sometimes, we fail Jesus. We do what he says, and then we turn around and we mess it up, and we wonder, the devil put in your mind, "You're not no good. See there, you can't do that. See, God tried to help you, but you ain't no good. You can't live that life." That's basically, Peter is an example of us coming to Jesus and then taking our eyes off of Jesus and doing something that we shouldn't do, and the devil is harping on you and lying to you and getting in your head and telling you, you can't do that. But Peter realized that he was wrong and he was afraid, and he knew he had failed Christ, but he hollered, "Lord," said he, cried out. If you're here this morning and you're sinking in that sand, in that water, in sin, whatever it is, cry out. And the wonderful thing is, immediately Jesus will stretch out his hand and say, "Come to me, son. Come to me, daughter. Come right now." It don't make any difference how much you've done. It don't matter where you're at. It don't matter where you've been. That don't make any difference. What is important is Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you, and he is willing. Right now, he is willing. He is standing in the, just imagine you're Peter. You're in the ship, you're in the boat in the world. The world is banging and crashing in on you. Whatever your problems might be, they may just fill in the boat up with problems, with marital problems, with money problems, with kid problems, with school problems, with work problems, all those problems that's coming in on you, and you think, "I'm going to sink." And then maybe you've asked Jesus, Jesus, help me, and Jesus helped you, and you took you. So, well, things are getting better. So you go back to what you're doing, and you start to sink, and you're sinking right now. And all you got to do is holler, Lord, help me. I'm scared. And immediately, right now, today, Jesus will stretch out his arm to you, and all he's going to say, he's not going to give you a lashing. He's not going to punish you. He's going to say, reach out his hand. He caught Peter and said to him, oh, ye of little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. People, God is alive. God, we know that we're here on this earth and that there's all kind of things coming in around us. And he wants you to know this morning, though the old ship may be sinking, he is the one that can make it float. We're singing that song a while ago, and I wrote down in this book, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. You ever thought about that? Jesus, give me to write that down. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. You can't even look at the sun, you'll go blind. It's so bright. Can you imagine how bright the Son of God is? Do you realize how great Jesus is and how much he loves you and how much he is willing to put? You can do whatever it is. It don't make no difference. Jesus still loves you. I've had so many people tell me, I'm not good enough. I never will be good enough. You never will be good enough. You won't be. But he was. He gave his life on that cross at Calvary. He shed his blood for you and I. And we are all okay if we reach out our hands and just realize, Lord, all you got to tell him, be a man. Be a woman. Say, Lord, I'm scared. I don't know how this is going to end. And all he'll say is, I know how it's going to end. I don't know how many times in my last 4 or 5 weeks, I told y'all last Sunday, when you find out you got something like this, you wanna dig in. It makes you get closer to him. You'll have a closer walk with him. That's just human nature. But every time I get down, my precious wife will tell me, Jesus got you, it's gonna be okay. And Jesus tells me every time, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Amen. Why I'm going through this, I don't know. Why you're going through what you're going through, I don't know. But I know who is in charge, and I know who's going to win in the end. Amen. And that's Jesus Christ. Peter stepped out of that boat and walked on that water. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, Jesus let him go down a little bit. And then he said, Lord, I'm afraid. And immediately Jesus picked him right back up. Son, I don't know why you don't believe me, but I still love you. That's what it is. He don't know why we fail him. I guess he does because he's God. He don't understand why we continue to fail him. And I don't understand why he continues to love us, but he does. And so all you got to do, say, Lord, I'm scared this morning. I don't know what is going to happen. Whatever situation is in your life. Maybe you're worried about the mess in Israel. Ain't no need to worry about that. That's going to be it just now starting. It ain't over with. Now, regardless of what the TV preachers say, there's a whole lot to happen before we go anywhere. If that scares you, just say, Lord, I'm afraid. He'll reach out his hands and he'll say, that's okay. And he'll take you into his arms. And he will hold you as long as you hold on to him. And he said he'd never leave you, he'd never forsake you. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning. Lord, how again I praise you. Father, I thank you for being a loving God and a merciful God and a God that just don't give up on his people, Lord God. I know I'd have given up on me a long time ago. But you're not like me. You're God. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and your ways are so much further than my ways and better. And our ways and our thoughts. So God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we just want to keep our eyes on you. I pray, God, if there's one person here, Lord God, that doesn't know you. Maybe you want to rededicate their life, Lord God, this morning. Maybe a Christian here just wants to pray. God, I pray that they do that right now. Maybe, God, it's somebody wants to join this body of believers this morning, Lord God. Right now, as Sister Ruth plays this song of invitation, Lord God, I pray that they'd move forward right now, Lord God. And Father, just be human enough, man enough, woman enough to say, Lord, I'm afraid. And reach them nail-scarred hands. In your precious name we pray. Amen.